morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all the physical and biological mothers, but also the spiritual mothers in the house. Throughout my years, I have had so much impact in my life through mothers that have walked with me when I've physically been away from my biological mother. So I do not underestimate the input that godly women have and have had in my journey. And for that, I'm very thankful today. And I also am aware that many other nations do not celebrate Mother's Day today, but we send an extra bit of love to all the mothers all around the world today, from Norway. When the Lord calls you, or when the Lord calls on you, many people discuss whether we have a lifetime calling, but today I'm going to talk about the times when the Lord is in need of some of our service. A specific time as this. I'll just let the technicians work on the sound. I'm a history nerd, so I'm going to go back to the Babylonian kingdom. The book of Esther, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story. But just to give a little bit of backdrop, the Babylonian Empire, King Xerxes is called in some translation, other translation he's called Ahasuerus. The bottom line is, he was an incredibly powerful man. If you look at this humongous kingdom, it stretches in the east from India all the way to what we today know as Greece, Libya, Ethiopia. So he was incredibly powerful. And in order to display his wealth, he held 108-day-long party, feast, celebration, 108 days, when he invited, little drummer boy, sorry, you're distracting me. So cute. Thank you. And during this feast, he invited all the officials from the east to the west to come and display, look at this display. And after the 108-day-long celebration, he topped it with another celebration for 7 days, which was an incredible celebration. Gold, silver, marble, everything was put on display. And at the end of the celebration, he wanted to show off his greatest treasure, which was his wife. This is where we run into a little bit of trouble, because his wife, Queen Vashti, refused to come. It's written of her that she was beautiful, we know that, but she refused to come into this party. He sent his servants to get her and get dressed up with her crown, but she refused to come. Xerxes gathered all his advisors. What do we do? What are my legal rights? They discussed it. The advice that he was given was to replace her. So Xerxes does as he is advised. It actually said he burned with anger, so he was not a happy chap. The most powerful man in the world telling his wife to come, and she did not come. He was mad. So he kicks out his wife, and his advice was to replace her. How was he going to do that? Well, he hosts a pageant. He hosts a pageant to replace his wife, and the royal decree goes out to all the outposts of his kingdom, send your most beautiful girls, virgins, to the palace, and we'll host a pageant. And the whole Babylonian kingdom did so. At this time, many of the Jews had already gone back to start rebuilding the wall, or rebuilding Jerusalem, but some were still left in Babylon. And among this is where we meet Esther, or Hadassah. She is incredibly beautiful, and she wins the pageant. What we know of Esther is that she was an orphan. She was raised by her uncle's son, which makes it her cousin. And she found favor, and he raised her as his own daughter. He really cared for her, and he invested into her. And even though it's Mother's Day, I'm fascinated by Mordecai today, because he gives an excellent example of raising a godly child. However, more trouble. Some of the king's officials plot to kill the king. Here, if this was a movie, it would be da-da-da-da. There is action going on in this kingdom. They plot to kill the king. Mordecai is always close to the king's gate, where Esther is. So even though she's now become the queen, not living with him anymore, he's always at the king's gate, around where she is. And at the king's gate, that's where you hear stuff. He finds out that the king is threatened. He tells Esther. Esther tells the king. And the whole plot is disclosed. Now, this other person comes into the story, Haman. Haman was one of the officials, but after this whole incident, he gets elevated to a place of nobility, which means at this time you have to bow to him and show him honor. Only problem is that Mordecai does not do this. He is a Jew. He knows who's his king. He knows the story of who delivered them out of Egypt. One thing the Jews are really good on is passing on their history. And Mordecai, he knows. So he does not bow to the new king. And because he does not bow, there is more trouble. Haman gets very mad. Very mad. So mad that he goes to the king. He explains the situation. He doesn't say there is one person not bowing to me. He says there is a people group here that's a problem, and they are called the Jews. And he talks to the king and presents his case. So at the end of his presentation, the king goes, Haman, do with these people as you please. Haman goes, as I please? Annihilate them. That's what he plans to do. To the point where the date for the genocide is set. When we look at the Christians around the world today, we know many of them are suffering. We know many of them are persecuted. We hear terrible stories from Syria, from other places around the world. God's people are under siege. And here, they actually knew that this decree was sent out, that the Jews were to be annihilated. Mordecai is devastated. He puts on his grieving garment, sackcloth and ashes, sits at the king's gate, and the news of this comes to Esther. And Esther even tries to send other clothes to him. But then Haman sends a translation of the king's decree to Esther in her own language so she can read it. And he also sends a message, Esther, you have to go into the king's court and you have to beg for mercy for your people. Historians estimate that Esther was between 13 and 17 years old. She was a young girl, young woman. What Esther does at this time astonishes me, because she replies, any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but for one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends his golden scepter to them and spare their life. Okay, so what Mordecai is asking Esther to do is very, very, very dangerous. She is facing a certain death unless, and we know what Xerxes did to his first wife. So she is a young girl with an incredible burden on her shoulder, And she's standing there, and she goes, Haman, no, I mean, sorry, Mordecai, this is what's going to happen. And there is a movie that I would like to show you, and please, it's VeggieTales. So sometimes they just get it, because it's just capture this moment where she is really pondering what's going on. Can you please show the little movie, the little clip? Technical problem. Do we drop it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, if you get a chance, go and look on the VeggieTales Queen Esther video. It's really good. But basically, the way that she's been raised brings Esther to send a reply. And as we think of Mother's Day and raising children, whether it is ours or whether we're having a spiritual impact, I have one prayer that when my children are put in a situation which seems too overwhelming for them, too great, either because of outside pressure or inside pressure, I have such a deep prayer that they would respond in the way that Esther does. Because if you go to the slide, where are you? Okay, if you continue forward. Yeah, and then the next one, her response. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Did you read what I just read? It gives me creeps. If my daughter comes to me, I'm going to start crying, and says, Mom, I want to be a missionary in Uzbekistan. We're then not even allowed to own a Bible. This is where I'm going to run. Because our God is the same God that delivered the Jews from Egypt. The same God that delivered the Jews. Because, you can just stop the slide. Because the end of the story, we know that the king extended the scepter. He did. He extended the scepter to Esther, and she found favor. And all the Jews were saved. They did not perish on the 13th day of the 12th month. And today they celebrate a Jewish holiday, Purim, to commemorate that our God, he delivered them. And that God delivers people today. And he delivers young people that are struggling with what's facing them in their schools. He delivers people that are persecuted for their faith all over the world. He delivers the lonely ones, the sick ones. That's our God. Sorry, I wasn't going to cry. But there is a cost. And we see Christians paying that cost all over the world. And we see young people, even in schools in Norway, paying a price for standing up for Jesus. It comes with a price. As parents, we have a call to teach our children to make right choices, godly choices. Like Mordecai did. So when our children are faced with impossible choices, they will answer like Esther did. Amen.